Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words, Gone Fishkin Edition. I'm not kidding. A few hours ago, we had a cancellation, and I guess it's commonly known as shit happening, but Mike Fishkin, the man, the myth, the legacy, the brainchild of all things, not even Adobe, music, is going to be the guest on this show. We talk on the reg, and while he's on the rag, but we talk all the time. And now I'm going to be interviewing him. So get ready for some majorly hard-hitting questions. That's what she said. Right now, he's wearing a Blink 182 hoodie, hunched over. He's going to get scoliosis in front of a computer. Oh, he fixed his posture. He listened. So basically, Mike Fishkin, all seriousness, is someone I actually look up to because he has had a prominent show. And I'm being sincere here, just so you know this. He has a prominent show on Adobe. I would say top two on Adobe, or he's shaking his head, top five. Well, maybe top two in my heart. So he has top two and he laughed just silently. That's basically anytime I say something funny, I would say the retention rate with him is like 27%. So that's like just more than a quarter of the time, but I'll take it. So he has a prominent Adobe show. What would you say I am? I am in like the bottom two. Well, be honest. What would you say? He's shaking his head because he's a fucking politician. But at any rate, I have an Adobe show. I have not complained to Adobe once about anything because I am grateful. I love it, and Tom is my hero. But Mike Fishkin is awesome. So enough kissing ass. This will not happen for the rest of the show. I'm interviewing Fishkin, who is also a Long Island native. So we can talk about that, or we could talk about that. The next few weeks on Waldman's Words, we have, drumroll please. Yay! Wait. Stop drumming. We have another mic. Mike, what can you say his last name?
Cubulos.
If you've been listening, Fishkin has been providing that word for the past few weeks. We also have Zach Falco, who works as a booking agent, and he knows a lot, and he might talk about Aaron Carter, so stick around for that. We've got Ray Rolden, who is PR God. He's worked with Britney Spears and also currently works with a plethora of bands, including a band I manage called Best X, shameless plug, which used to be known as Candy Hearts. And we've got Megan Thompson at Hopeless Records, home of motherfucking Bayside, motherfucking Newfound Glory, and motherfucking Yellow Card, rest in peace. So let's see how much time. Oh, great. I have 4 seconds that I can allot. So stay tuned. You're going to hear Fishkin talk. And I have a feeling he's going to be typing while talking. And I don't want that. So much love to y'all motherfuckers. Hello. Welcome to Gone Waldman.
That has an interesting ring to it.
Well, interesting is a word I use to describe an ugly painting. Do you refer to it in that sense? Are you on your phone, dude?
I was just turning it on silent. Look, I'm going to throw my phone across the room.
He's not fucking lying. He actually threw his phone, which was overly dramatic and unnecessary. You could have just turned it off. If you broke your phone...
Oh, I threw it against the padded soundproofing, so...
I mean...
onto the rubber floor. It was pretty idiot-proof when it came to that.
Are you idiot-proof?
No. You're going to find out that during the interview.
Oh, Trust me, I already knew the answer to that question. So, this floor, is it rubber?
I think so, just judging by the way my phone bounced.
Okay, well, I'll take it. So we are currently in a rubber room in Burbank, right?
Technically North Hollywood.
North Burbankwood?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's weird because it shows up, you know, in places as Burbank, North Hollywood. So currently we are in Hicksville, Long Island,
yeah,
doing an interview.
I wish we were on Long Island right now. I'd be at Cherry Valley getting a fucking greasy-ass sandwich and hating my life.
I mean, you already hate your life, but as far as...
for a different reason.
Yeah, that's fair. So you'd be hating your life more from a fat kid perspective.
Exactly.
Okay, so Hicksville, Long Island, I know that's not where you're from, but... and I also know I'm 83 years older than you, but Utopia. Did you ever go there?
Fuck yeah, I did.
What'd you do there? Did you pierce your septum?
No, I don't have any piercings, but my friends would go there for tobacco product use only.
Oh, tobacco, like a bong.
Yeah.
Oh, he paused. Is your mom listening right now? Are you scared?
I'm not going to talk. I personally, at the time, I was not there for that.
Oh, you mean
I was literally
you
there
didn't inhale?
No, I didn't inhale. I didn't eat anything back in the day.
You know,
that's
I was...
that's a whole different story. But
sorry,
they had just changed the law to you had to be 19 years old to buy tobacco products when I first went to Utopia. And
tobacco
I was,
products.
Yeah, and I was stuck in the fucking porn section with a bunch of dildos and naked women,
which you loved.
Yeah, just knocked over a whole display with my boner.
Wait a second, that's a scene in like an American Pie movie that they haven't written. Like like American Pie presents Utopia. Oh, doop a doop doop. Oh shit, my dick knocked over thing. Stifler.
But yeah, no, I've been to Utopia a few times.
Utopia.
But personally, I was a fan of the Wendy's on the corner. That was like one of the nicest.
My ex girlfriend's name Wendy. Can really? You please do me a favor and not bring her up on the show? That's not cool.
And also, fun fact about that area.
The Broadway Mall.
The Broadway Mall. Back in the day, they used to have Hot Topic in stores, and I believe it was 2008 or 2009. I went to go see this band, Set in Color, while I was in a...
I'm nodding.
Yeah. As I was in a local band, and we were about to play our first show, so me and...
Can you specifically name drop the name of your local band? I want all...
Blackout or Bust was the name at the time.
Did you bust?
Yeah, because I didn't drink or anything at the time.
No, no, I'm talking about your nut.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't that kind of band. But that was the first time I met this band, Set in Color, who was all descending members of the famed Long Island band Stereo Skyline.
Ah, Rockville Center. I believe so.
Nah, East Meadow.
Are you? Well, oh, fuck. You know what? I think you're right, but Rockville Center is where Howard Stern's from. I was in a band with two kids from East Meadow. Ah. We played at Ground Zero, which doesn't exist. Have you ever heard of Ground Zero?
I have, and actually on my first tour, that was the name of a New Hampshire venue.
Dude, and it's also the name of where 9/11 happened, which let's make this serious for a second. Your father, I know I'm asking and talking about the hard-hitting stuff. I actually have no outline for this show. It's the first one since the very first show, so it's either going to suck or be great. It's kind of like musicians. Either you're fucking loaded or you're broke.
Yeah.
And so both Fish and I have a really fucked up statistic in common that we both lost our fathers prematurely. But I just want to give his father and anyone who is a part of helping people during one of the darkest times in our nation's history. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm shaking his hand. Please don't shake it like a fish. Thank you. Get it?
But getting back to the Broadway Mall.
What? You don't want to talk about 9/11 anymore?
I'd rather move on to more music-related stuff. But this was the first time I met this band, and evidently I ended up getting kicked out of my band for image reasons.
Why? What's specific?
I was fat and ugly. I knew how to play bass, though, so...
I mean, I don't think you're fat. The ugly thing is negligible.
Oh, in high school, I was a big boy.
I've seen pictures.
But, so fuck that dude. Fuck the drummer. Piece of shit left all my equipment outside in the rain.
I mean, now he's actually... This drummer is the drummer for Rush. So it's kind of a big deal, but... So fuck Rush, dude. Fuck that band.
I heard the last I heard he was a... I'm not going to say anything on record, but...
the last thing he heard, you cannot legally discuss.
Yeah, I can't legally discuss, but okay. I'm homies with two of the dudes. I'll bring that story up in a few seconds, but...
Do you like your tea, by the way?
It was really good. It kind of tasted like a horchata.
Oh, it's because it's got my sperm in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So...
It's a nice chai.
I evidently ended up working for this band Set in Color, and after they kicked out their singer, I stuck with him, and that's where I learned like a lot of like management things. Like I was doing merch for them. I learned a lot of back end things before I even got into radio or even thought about doing
radio. What back end things do you think of? Because basically, for those listening right now, I interview. Well, when I started this show, I was just trying to interview as many people that I knew in the industry. So I would interview people in bands and I would interview people behind the scenes. But then I'd say like a month or two into the show, I was like, fuck it. Like I'll interview some band people, but I wanted to be behind the scenes people. So when you offered to do this, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Cause you are my second Adobe guest. Who was my first?
Who was your first?
You were part of it.
I'm trying to think. Who was your first?
You've been interviewing. Dan has done a few. But you have been recording the vast majority. I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Bach the Lols.
Oh, was I here for? Yeah, I was here for it.
You were.
Patrick.
Patrick Walford.
Patrick, when I came on staff at Adobe, was one of the first people to reach out to me to introduce himself.
Well, he actually was the first person to introduce himself to me when I started. So
yeah, he introduced himself over Facebook chat, and we used to Skype all the time. He used to give me tips. So shout out to Patrick for helping me out back.
You
in
know
the
day. What? You got to pay that shit forward and. He is a really, really knowledgeable guy, especially in, I guess, the quote-unquote heavy genre.
Where I have absolutely no knowledge of.
Just so you know, Fishkin is in a Converge cover band, and he is actually the yeller, so he's lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so getting back to my band, I guess this is a little cool story to put. I got kicked out, whatever, hated, we all hated each other. Like, the dude was literally my best friend since sixth grade.
What do you mean by best friend? Because my wife and my sister have 83 best friends, and I just
this
have
is
one.
Like the ride or die homie. He's okay. Like the first one who like got me drunk back in the day. He's the first one to get me to smoke weed. He was the first one to take. He actually took me to my first show, which was Stereo Skyline, All Time Low, and Cobra Starship at Club Ritual, which might have been after your time.
That venue, yes, Cobra Starship. It's funny because I was literally just talking.
You know where that venue is, right?
You interrupted me. I was trying to respond. I was literally just talking to Midtown's drummer.
Oh, Rob Hitt?
Yeah, Rob Hitt, who's awesome, really good, smart guy. But Cobra Starship, I don't know. I like Midtown more. Anyway, what's the venue?
It was called Club Ritual.
No.
It was like by the ground round in ETB, OTB, off-track betting on Hempstead Turnpike, the laser tag.
What city on Hempstead Turnpike?
Levittown.
Levittown. No, I've never been there.
It was a bunch of different names. It was like four numbers at some point. Whatever.
Regardless. I'm listening.
So when I was back home, I went to Miller's Ale House, met up with an old friend. This was in April. And I was just driving on the Meadowbrook, going mm-hmm. home.
Meadowbrook. That's my route, dude.
Yeah, going back to New High Park to my mom's house.
High Park. Sorry. I went to the Great Neck South prom.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm driving at home, and Devil and God comes on as I'm driving my mom's minivan, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to just drive on the Ocean Parkway, like that abandoned highway behind Jones Beach where it's
damn
always
right.
foggy.
My very first concert without my parents was Jones Beach.
Oh, really?
Weezer opening for No Doubt.
That's a pretty dope show.
It was pretty awesome.
So
when you were two.
Probably. So I call my best friend Wayne.
The ride or die guy?
Yeah, ride or die. He actually came with me while I got my first tattoo while I was home, too.
You have a tattoo?
I got a tattoo, yeah.
What? Why didn't I know this?
It was only fitting. It's just two purple lines.
We both have a lot of unwanted body hair, yeah. So that might be the distraction. Just so you guys know, Fish is not as emotive of a person as I am. His fucking eyes went wide the fuck open when I said the unwanted body hair.
It's true. I have so much unwanted body hair.
It's honestly a mongoloid thing, and it's also an East Coast thing I've learned because basically out here you're genetically bred for non-cold temperatures. So we are meant to be living in igloos.
So,
and you're Italian.
Yes, I am. So I hit up Wayne. I'm like, yo, dude, what are you doing? He's like, it's 1 a.m. I'm just like chilling, but I'm waiting for Eddie to get off the train, and we were going to go do whatever we do at 1 a.m. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I just want to like drive on the highway, listen to Devil and God brand new. Like, I don't get to do this shit anymore.
Which, for the record, is their second best album. It's so fucking good. Yeah. Do you agree that Deja?
Do you know how, like, obviously you know about Birthright.
I just want you to answer the question first.
I fuck with Deja.
It's not your favorite?
Don't say
your favorite weapon's your favorite.
No, I think Devil and
okay.
God. And,
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that. What were you going to say? You were going to ask a question
like
about
Birthright. I feel like if you really want to be an emo kid, Birthright would be driving at 1 a.m.
The Israeli trip to Birthright?
Yeah.
Emo kids,
Birthright should be driving on an abandoned highway, always foggy.
You know, Pete Wentz hated Devil and God when it came out, and you know a lot of people, there was major backlash about it, and I heard it, and crazy name droppy story that I've never said to anyone publicly or non-publicly.
Well, you're about to say it to 20,000 plus people.
So. I know. Actually, what I tell people is between 20 and 50, which is true.
Yeah.
So 20,000 plus people. Well, now that Fishkin's on the show, 80 million people are going to be listening to this.
I wish.
Chris Futerich, the guy who produced my old band, actually three bands that I played in, and I used to manage, played me the demos that brand new it's weird when you talk about band. I'm an English major. Brand new was working on, not were working on, because brand new is a singular entity. That was in between Deja and Devil and God, and that was when they signed to a major.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just letting you know that I heard it first, and right. I love, what's the final track? Handcuffs? Is that the last one?
Yeah,
on
I'm
Devil
so
and God?
Bad with,
Devil and God. Okay.
So bad with name titles.
You know, I'm
I don't have
track
my phone,
titles.
So I can't.
It's track 12, I believe. I have my phone, and I hope I have Devil and God on it. You keep talking. I'll scroll.
But so we're just driving on the highway. I'm driving my friend's car because they want to do whatever they do.
I do.
Oh, dope. And
handcuffs. I was right.
Nice.
Nice.
So just driving, I look at Time Hop.
What's Time Hop?
It's this app where it like links all your socials and show you like this day in the past type thing.
Oh, like what Facebook is doing now with the anniversaries?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I look, and it was 8 years since me, Eddie, and Wayne recorded that first Blackout or Bust song, and there we were just driving on a highway on Long Island listening to Brand New.
So you, I mean, that's cool as fuck, but you, you're in your mid or late 20s.
I turned 25 a day after this airs. This is airing on the 6th.
This is airing on yes. So right now we are actually in May.
I turned 25 on the 7th, a week from today. I was supposed to be born today, actually. I was a week late.
But you fucked up. Well, special shout outs to my wife, who is born on June 10th, and special shout out to my dad, who is June 13th. So you're in really good company.
Yeah.
But basically, so you were listening to this like 10 years ago when you were a real legit teenager. How are you driving if it was 10 years ago? Because I thought in New York you have to be 17.
No. This was literally 3 months ago. Last month, April.
Okay.
And then 10 years or 8 years ago to that day.
You were doing it.
We were recording a song.
In like a real studio?
No, in the basement of the singer of Set in Colors house.
How did he record it? Like, did he have Pro Tools?
Yeah, he had Pro Tools. He had a drum room.
When I was your age, we didn't have Pro Tools. We would record stuff into a fucking tape cassette deck.
Yeah, so it was just a really weird balance out, and like,
can I hear it?
Yeah,
can you email it to me?
Yeah, I'll play it.
Is it awesome? Can we play it on this show today?
So fucking no. That's, I'd rather 4 minutes of my voice over that.
I might disagree with you,
but yeah. So it was really cool. Eddie was like just getting off the train from his like real big boy job. He's a manager at some high end store on Fifth Avenue or something.
Oh wow, Fashion Avenue.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Sorry, Eddie, if you're listening.
No, Fashion Avenue is it's kind of like I believe.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about. Okay. I just don't remember the name of the store, but it's like a good job.
So
like,
it's Abercrombie.
Yeah, but he did work at Abercrombie for
a while. Shit.
Eddie and Wayne both worked at Abercrombie, and Wayne is taking his test to get into med school now.
Oh, the MCAT.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That shit's hard. I was actually this weekend when I was in Michigan, my best friend's an attorney and a partner, and his girlfriend just graduated med school. So I feel really, really inferior around these two people. And my wife has a master's, and I'm like, I manage bands and have a show in Adobe. And they're like, awesome. And then like, what? So
No, it's funny. I'll like get the text from Eddie like, dude, what the fuck? That picture you posted or this person's picture you tagged. And I'm like, yeah, man, but you got like a six-figure job, dog.
Living
and
the dream.
Health insurance.
Yeah, that's right. I get health insurance through my wife.
Yeah.
I used to do it on Adobe. Doesn't do that?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You brought it up.
Right now, I do not have health insurance. I just got dropped from my parents.
Well, you know what? I love Tom and I love you. So if you want, you could claim to be my child and maybe my wife can pay for your health insurance.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going by the don't get sick and all natural shit. So.
Oh, natural?
Yeah, like when I had like this mini flu or something, got it from kissing a girl.
You know, that's
it
how I got mono.
It wasn't mono. Wasn't mono, but I was like knocked out for 3 days. But what I did was just like, and of course I was fucking vegan at the time. So it made it that much worse.
Was this during your Lent period?
Yeah. So
like, for the record, Fish, for Lent, became a vegan. And obviously as a Jew, I totally participate in Lent.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just telling you right now, like, he was one of the happiest people I'd ever seen during that period.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that after I finish all the food that I got on my last Costco run and just being healthy again. But
it's good.
I was doing like ramen, like two meals a day. I was doing the juices. I was doing this.
I did a cleanse yesterday.
So much green tea. Couldn't do honey. Honey's not vegan.
Oh, that's right, because it comes from a bee.
Yeah, so that was a bitch. But overall, besides being sick for 3 weeks, I felt great being vegan.
You looked great.
I gained like 6 pounds back. I lost 13. I gained 6 pounds.
Yeah, it's called the Somalian diet. It's awesome. All right, so we have like 4 more minutes now, and then we're going to take a short break and get back to it. But you know what? Fuck this real, actual conversation. Let me ask you questions about your life.
Yes, please do. I say that should be a good segment, too. We should keep bullshitting.
Okay,
or segment three, rather.
I love that the guy who's high up the food chain is telling me what to do on my show. I love that.
We'll save all the serious stuff for one segment.
Okay, so if honestly, if at the end of this segment you do not want to learn anything, listen to Fishkin.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, I'll talk about stuff, whatever you want to do.
I know. Well, that's what I thought until you started telling me what to do. I said this is Gone Waldman, but this is like Fishkin's words.
Yeah, this is your show. Do whatever you want.
I awesome.
Hit me with questions because I never
questions. No, I know. And that's what I was going to do. And I honestly, one of my biggest pet peeves about people in general is, especially given that we live in LA, is that people just are narcissists and talk about themselves and they don't give a shit. But I believe it or not, Fish, and you tell me if I don't, do I always ask you how you are? And
you are.
I are or I do?
You are asking again, but you do, yeah.
I care. I do. Listen, Billy, I totally care about you, so it's great. So, all right, I'm going to ask you a silly question.
Please do.
All right. So let's get back to Brand New. What is their silliest song title to you? Because they have a lot of them.
Silliest one will be Moshi Moshi, only because I mentioned Moshi Moshi on my show last week, and I got a few people from...
On your Shoshi Shoshi?
Yeah. I got a few people from Japan tweeting me, and I guess something cut out. They were like, why are you speaking Japanese? I'm like, no, I was talking about a Brand New song title.
Oh, my God. Were people offended?
No.
Okay, good. Because you really never know. Like, you could say, like, it's a song title, and some person listening could be like, you're saying the word for kick me in the fucking balls.
Yeah. I mean, Brand New... I don't know.
They live in Long Beach, one of them. I think Brian Lane lives in Long Beach, my hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. But Brand New will always be a band very special in my heart. They, like, just stood very true to what they were. Like,
they are the best marketing band I've ever seen.
Oh, 100%.
They can announce a show at 1:33 in the morning.
And it'll be sold out by 1:35.
It's insane, the demand. They are so elusive. They don't do anything. I think they're doing it so well. Not every band can do this, be a mysterious band. But I feel like all they do is laugh their asses off at all the shit they pull.
They have to.
Because it's insane. And now they're, like, we'll cut this off soon, but now they are headlining a festival with Death Cab for Cutie on right before them. Isn't that insane?
I'll say this about Brand New. I'm, like, a very big nerd, very sentimental nerd.
I never knew that.
Really?
Of course I knew that.
You follow me on social media?
I do, you mopey bastard.
I'm not mopey. I might be a little mopey, but
yeah,
I'm not a complainer.
I thought I was.
Mopey.
No. You are not a complainer, and I are not a complainer either. I said intentionally. I have a lot of, like, everyone has life problems. Everyone has shit. Like, but
I keep that shit off the internet.
Yeah, you should. And also, you don't bitch about things. Like, yeah, obviously, honor your dad.
Yeah.
I honor my dad. Like, things like that. That's not complaining. That's respect. Anyway, continue. Sorry, tangent.
So I was at the Forum to see Brand New and Modest Mouse, and just seeing everyone just singing along to some of those Brand New songs that I literally grew up on and thought I...
Literally, actually.
I thought I only had that personal connection because it was the same area. I literally had goosebumps while everyone was freaking out during...
During the
Sick Transit Gloria.
Oh, the sick bass line.
Exactly. And like that. And then I saw Envy on the Coast on a smaller scale at Terragram. And Envy, that band means the world to me.
I just want to let you guys know this before we cut this off. Envy on the Coast should be called fucking Fish on the Coast. Because that kid is like so hardcore about it. And I will be straight up with you. I like them. Mm-hmm. I love Brand
New. Oh, their Envy on the Coast new EP. I heard it. Holy.
You know who I'm seeing today?
Who?
Mr. Minardi.
Really?
So I'll ask him.
Tell Mr. Minardi I said hello.
I will. And what's crazy is that when this airs, it won't be today.
Yeah.
But, and just shout out to myself and Waldman's Words. Johnny Minardi was on a prior episode of Waldman's Words. And I enjoyed that one. And he's a good guy. And I can't believe that Envy is actually releasing music. It's an EP, right?
It's an EP and it's phenomenal. But I got the last song they play at almost every show is Gift of Paralysis, where they have the big... sing along with the throwing punches at ocean waves.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that, I literally fucking teared up. You see it in my face
right
now.
No, dude. When Fish is being sincere, he likes to use the word literally a lot.
Yeah, and like I literally teared up and had chills just watching it. Like I remember back in the MySpace days, I was fucking messaging Ryan. I'm like, dude, we went to the same high school. Like these kids are bullying me because I play music, which I do. And he would give me life advice. Always the kindest dude.
He didn't have to do that.
Did not have to do that. I've known him since I'm 14 years old.
That's, yeah, dude, Fish's eyes are falling out of his fucking sockets.
Just talking about Ryan.
All right, we're going to cut this off for a minute, and I love that I'm cutting Fish off for the first time ever. This is wonderful. It makes me feel great. But quickly, I've never seen Brand New. I want to. I've never seen. I know. But I have seen Envy on the Coast multiple times, opening for Taking Back Sunday, Amberlin. And what's crazy is at what with Bamboozle left, I saw Envy on the Coast just as Low Country.
One of their last shows at the time, I think.
Uh-huh, it was. So that's my name dropping of Envy. So speaking of Envy, I envy Phish for everything. So we're going to cut this off for a second, and we're going to get back to the serious stuff, even though Brand New and Envy on the Coast are serious.
Very serious topics.
Very serious. So stick around for Waldman's Words, and if you don't want to learn anything, turn this off and listen to something else. All right, we are back with Gone Waldman, or Waldman's Fishkin, or whatever you want to call it. With the impromptu episode that was honestly not planned until a cancellation happened approximately 2 hours ago. So special shout out to me for being malleable, and extra special shout out again, last time I'll kiss his ass, to Mike Fishkin for donating his time, because he was going to be in the room anyway and now he's actually working. So I appreciate it. I don't know, where are you looking right now?
Don't worry about it.
But I worry way too much about you. So anyway, we're 34 seconds into this segment, and we are going to talk about serious things. Oh, he dropped his phone again, but not as aggressively as he did before. Okay, so we have something in common that not a lot of people that I know out here have. We're both from Long Island.
Yeah.
So obviously, we spoke about Envy on the Coast and Brand New, and there's Taking Back Sunday, there's Glassjaw, and there's this little small-time piano player named Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. But how did that... being from that area, which is so densely populated, shape your musical upbringing?
So my dad was always into like a lot of stuff, and he was like the CBGB's like punk dude.
Like Ramones? Yeah. CBG? Oh, dope.
And so I would always get his influences. I would get my mom's influences. And that could be anywhere in the world, but this is where being on Long Island really comes into play.
Wait, what was your mom's influence by? If you
like Goo Goo Dolls, Bon Jovi, like that kind of stuff. So I saw Goo Goo Dolls.
I
and
saw
bon
them
Jovi
together
so many times.
I saw them together in Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls opened for the hottest crowd of women I've ever seen. Cougars.
Yeah.
I guess your mom's a cougar to me. Keep going.
So between those two, and then like discovering Good Charlotte when I was like in fifth grade, like all these things. And like I said, this could be happening anywhere.
How'd you discover them?
MTV.
Was it Little Things or Motivation Proclamation?
It was the anthem, and that's when I realized I want to be in music.
You know who wrote that song with them, right?
Feldy.
Damn right. And a lot of people don't know that. And the anthem was a crazy outlier song, because their self-titled record I thought was good. And I saw them on that tour, as I said to you earlier, with opening for MXPX. But Young and the Hopeless, I was working, because I'm a little bit older than you, like 33 years, I was working at an eyeglass store my senior year in college, and I would bump that record front to back, and it's my second favorite Good Charlotte album.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to the Madden Brothers. Those dudes have done so much for me. Just meeting Josh when I was 20 years old and always never hesitating to answer a question for me and just
That's
giving
great.
Me life advice, like...
That company is killing it right now.
Yeah. Shout out to MDDN and all the bands on it.
Hard-hitting question. What do you think, / narcissistic, is my favorite Good Charlotte album?
It would have to be the self-titled.
Nope.
Really?
That's not even in my top three.
Good Morning Revival?
Nope.
Chronicles?
Chronicles.
I was at the CD release show at Tower Records.
Why you gotta do that?
My dad got me, and I was in seventh grade, I remember.
I think front to back, it sounds to me like a pop punk band listens to Silverchair.
Yeah.
I love that album. Young and Hopeless is my second favorite, and then I would say Good Morning Revival is my third favorite.
Gotcha. So,
I wasn't into Cardiology. The new one I think is cool, and the self-titled is cool. What do you think of the new one?
The new one I like a lot. It has like the
Life Changes, right?
Yeah, Life Changes, all that stuff. And my favorite bridge Good Charlotte has ever written / outro.
Whoa, this
is
getting musical. I love it.
Is, what song is it? Fuck. I'm so bad with the song titles.
It's okay.
What about
say
Cameron
track
Diaz?
I don't know. That's
Tell
not
me
gonna.
What you did and the things you said on the text you made. They performed it on some late night shows.
That's awesome. I don't know the name of the song. Is it
Life
a
can't get
life can't get much better.
That one
is that track five.
I honestly
I'm crossing
don't.
My fingers.
No
okay.
Idea.
Well, I'll look that up.
But
keep
regardless,
going.
So being from Long Island, I was in New Hyde Park, which was about 35 minutes away from
New
York
Hyde
City.
Park.
And obviously, everyone's hitting New York City all the time for their shows. And then Long Island was kind of a B market, so. My dad knew all the venue staffs in New York City, so I would be able to get into most shows, no problem. So
for
free? Yeah, I'd be able to get, which was awesome, so it really exposed me to a lot of music. And then all the B markets is where like the MySpace bands were touring back in the day, like the All Time Lows. Like
Track 4.
Okay.
Track 4. Damn it.
So, like, All Time Low, We the Kings, Mayday Parade, The Main, all will play, like, Crazy
so
Donkey.
So the neon bands. The neon scene.
Like, Donkey, they play, like, Vintage Lounge,
Donkey's
Vibe
Crazy
Lounge.
Donkey, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And all those venues, so, like...
Vanderbilt, too, right?
That was after me.
That was after
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's where I saw Good Charlotte.
Yeah. So I would get to be at all these shows.
Long Island was so cool when you grew up. It was not cool when I was growing up. I mean, there was a band I loved called Edna's Goldfish.
Okay.
They were a ska punk band, but, like, I went to school in Michigan, and as soon as I fucking left, I feel that Long Island was like, all right, Scott's gone. Let's do cool shit.
Oh, don't worry. Long Island's whack as fuck again.
Well, at least you experienced the good shit.
But, yeah, so I would get to be exposed and experience all these shows, and I would always be there early, like, seeing all the opening bands, talking to them.
Did you go with your dad to the shows?
No.
Were you like, fuck that?
No, I'd be perfectly cool with it. My dad was a cool dude. He took me, actually, to Taste of Chaos at Nassau Coliseum. When I was
Who was on that one?
It was Used, 30 Seconds to Mars, Chiodos, Seosin, Aiden, Senses Fail.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and some dude like hit me in the pit because I always looked older, and I was like 14 years old. This dude probably 18, 19 years old, and my dad just chucked him.
Good. Well, your dad, I've seen pictures. You wouldn't fuck with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're tall now. Were you like the same height then as you are now?
I was a little bit shorter, but...
I mean, how tall were you when you were like 16?
Probably like 5'11".
You were taller than I am now when you were 16.
Yeah.
Fuck you. All right. So anyway, let's get back to the serious stuff. So Long Island, obviously, I know that it's whack as fuck, quote unquote, now. But for you, I mean, you had a pretty good life. I mean, you went to – and I'm talking about in terms of music and in terms of what I know about you. Like, you had loving parents.
Yeah.
I have no complaints. Right?
I have two sisters.
Two. Sorry. I've never met anyone that you're related to, but maybe someday I'll hug them. But – they did a good job with you because you're a nice kid. So what about college? Did you know when you were going off to college that you wanted to work in music?
I knew that from high school on, like freshman year of high school.
Was it Kellenberg?
Yeah, I went to Kellenberg for 7 years. I did the middle school and high school.
They wouldn't let me into Kellenberg.
Yeah, well, they had to pull some strings for me too. Don't worry.
No, I'm
yeah,
Jewish.
I know.
Oh, you know?
I'm very aware.
You're aware that I'm Jewish? I bring it up?
I'm aware that it's a private school, but...
It is a private school, and it's an expensive one.
Yeah.
Chaminade's the real pricey one, right?
Yeah, fuck Chaminade, though. They had Bill O'Reilly, that cock munch.
Bill O'Reilly went there? He was from Levittown, I think. And you brought up Levittown. Oh, fuck Bill O'Reilly.
And he went there...
And you don't and like was, getting political.
I don't.
But fuck that guy.
He's a cock munch. That's the word of the day. I just made it up off the...
He's a cock munch to the umpteenth power, and...
And also, 75 is failing at Chaminade. I don't fuck with that. I graduated with, like, a 73.
75 is a C.
Yeah, exactly.
At Michigan...
I could have walked to Chaminade.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. At Michigan, it was the first time we ever had letter grades, because on Long Island I grew up with letter grades. And if you have below a 2 point, which is a C, that's failing. So it's the same thing. Chaminade and Michigan have so much in common. Continue.
But so I went to Kellenberg, and I would always be like in trouble for like either my hair or like facial hair or something. Like,
just you had facial hair back then?
Yeah, dude, like from 7th grade
when
on.
When did you go through puberty?
I don't know.
I know when I did, like a day ago.
It's all a blur, but...
Oh, my God. I had a fucking chart in my room for my pubes.
So I knew, like, throughout then and, like, freshman year, like, middle school, I did my band things. We all played the talent show. Nothing really picked up. And
you mean you didn't get a record deal with Capitol from the talent show? Fucking asshole.
No. But freshman year of high school, no one wanted to be in a band with me at the time because everyone was, like, very into sports and this, that, the other
thing. But you play football.
I did play football for 1 year, and then I got cut from the high school team.
Cut from the team, cute without the E?
Yeah, basically. So I would just be in my room with this MIDI keyboard that my grandma got me for Christmas.
Grandma, dad's side or mom's side?
Dad's side.
Okay.
Grandma L.
Grandma Fishkin.
Different last name.
No, but she was married.
Yeah, technically. Technically, it was a Fishkin at some point.
So I was right. You didn't need to correct me when I was right. Continue.
So, yeah, so I would just sit in my room and like use loops and learn how to use that.
Wait, use lube?
Yeah, lube, lots of lube, and just like guitar parts over it, like learn to play to a click.
So the layer. But for the record, as I always say on this show, it is an educational show. If you are a musician, learn to record with a click.
Yeah.
You don't have to record your album to it. You could be very avant-garde if you want to do that quote-unquote live sound, but learn how to do it.
Yeah. So I started a rap group called Fish Factor with my neighbor. And like I would like shitty rap over it, but my neighbor would kind of do most of the rapping. And I just learned how to market on MySpace from that. Like it would be like the MySpace whore trains, like putting out bulletins, adding everyone, just learning how to market and just.
Wait, was it this was pre-college or during college?
This is freshman year of high school.
Wow. Well, let's get to college.
Skip all that shit.
Well, it's not skipping it. Yeah. It's just like that the question was college, and of course life is tangential.
So college, I was just really bummed even.
It was at Harvard, right?
Yeah. I was just really bummed going into college. Like I just blew it on the SATs on purpose.
Did you have a three-section SATs? Because you're younger than me. Like with the writing, verbal.
Yeah.
We just had verbal and math, and I wish I had yours.
Shout out to All Time Low. I wrote the poetry part on their song Stay Awake, and that's probably why I didn't get into college.
That's awesome.
So it was the only thing I could think of at the time.
I wrote about a band called Far. Have you heard of Far?
No.
Have you heard of Deftones?
Yeah.
They're friends. I wrote about that on my college essay.
Okay.
But All Time Low, Stay Awake, is that on...
So Wrong, It's Right.
That's
I wrote
so
it
funny.
On the line, Dedication Lasts a Lifetime, Dreams Only Last for the Night, I believe.
Dreams Only Last for the Night. That's
so
awesome.
Regardless, so I only applied to three colleges because I want to be on tour. I want to be either a tour manager, musician, whatever, and it didn't happen.
It's good that you knew that you wanted that.
Yeah.
You're ahead of 99%.
So I went into college just all bummed out, and I was failing something. Well, college, actually, I dropped out after my second semester.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you ever end up graduating?
I did, yeah. But
from a different school or something?
No, just Nassau Community College. I'll just segue into this, even though I told you it was going to happen.
That's fine.
Second semester of college, my grandpa passed away. I was really bummed. Sorry. But then I was still taking rock and roll history and public speaking. I dropped my real courses. There was a cute girl in public speaking. So,
that makes sense.
And rock and roll history.
You pick courses based on who might be in them and the time.
Exactly. So dropped out. And then throughout this whole time, and I really mentioned it before, I was acting or trying to act on a manager.
Hey, that's number three on my list that made an outline.
This is a segue.
Well, you're making your own destiny. I appreciate it. So tell me about acting.
So after I dropped out, my contract was up with my manager and I joined like Casting Network, all that shit. And I remember I applied for this role. It was called I Love You to Death. And it sounds like a comedy title.
It sounds like a combination of a horror or a comedy.
Yeah. So they're like football looking dudes. So I show up in like giant shirts. You just look
football.
Like,
that was on the breakdown. Football looking. You know, my first job in LA was casting, right?
Oh, really?
The Office, the pilot.
Oh,
I was
dope.
The casting assistant.
So I went on that and I got a few callbacks. I ended up booking the job.
Pound.
And from there, I was like, you know what? Fuck college. So I mean,
an acting gig, if you get anyone, like, be it on a lot of people don't know this, but like right now I'm holding an Aquafina. They don't sponsor me, but if you are in an Aquafina commercial that is like kind of like flow from Progressive, mm-hmm. you're set.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It was just a pilot. It never really turned into anything.
But it was something.
Yeah, exactly. So I made like $800 for a week of shooting, and I thought I was like balling out.
Wait, how old were you?
I was 18.
That's a lot of money for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I spent it all on Pinnacle Vodka, and an iPad.
Well, I was okay. That's useful. You're a fucking idiot for the vodka, but continue.
Tried every flavor,
and you weren't even legally allowed to drink it. Wow!
Shout out to Nikki C for
Nikki Six.
Nikki C.
Okay.
From Hoodie Island's bassist, my fucking
Plainview.
Yeah, my homie for life. But
word.
So, yeah, so I did that. The semester after that, I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to do half online courses, half real courses, and just not show up or do anything, just so I'm still on insurance. And my acting career plummeted. I didn't book any more than background gigs.
It's hard, man. We live in L.A., dude. We see it firsthand. The majority of people pursuing acting, same with music, have other jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, now I've noticed they're all Lyft and Uber drivers. Every single one of them is a Lyft or Uber driver, and I am not. I manage a stand-up comic, that is true, but I don't manage actors. But if we start talking and it comes out, I usually get a script by the end of the car ride.
Yeah.
Do you get that too?
I don't talk. I say I'm a social media coordinator,
that's
which
smart.
I am.
No, you're not lying.
So
maybe what I should say is I work with people.
Yeah,
exactly. And not get specific.
So I ended up going back to college, and I was failing my astronomy. What the fuck is study of the skies?
It's not astrology.
Astronomy
is what I would think are stars and planets.
It's some bullshit like that.
You mean proctology?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was basically your head up your ass. But,
right. Hey!
So
my wife's father is an OBGYN.
Mm.
Continue.
I'm failing midway through the semester, and the professor was like, hey, like, anyone want to start an alt-rock show with me?
Fuck yeah.
And I'm like,
I see where this is going.
I'm like, fuck yeah. On the campus station, like, I was working for the gun show since I was like 15 years old at this point.
Yeah, that he was actually what I would say.
I'm gonna
say something because this is my show.
Okay.
Thank you. Remember how I said like the top two?
Yeah.
He would have been the person. I've never met him, but Mariel Loveland, a girl who I manage, my second shout out to her this show. That's awesome. Loves him. I've never met him. And you guys had a DJ off recently.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Hey, you brought him up, bro.
But so basically, I started the show, and that was my first jump into radio. I ended up getting on my own show on the campus station, and then I was probably...
Was the subject like kind of like what it is now, or are you more like a DJ who curated stuff?
I literally had no creative control. It was called a retro mix. I was given...
Erection mix?
Yeah.
Dope.
I would have to play songs from the 20s to the 90s, and I did one Gone Fishkin.
Wait, the 20s? Like
1920s.
Like Miles Davis, like Etta James?
Yep.
Oh, that's dope. That's totally your style.
Yeah. And whatever.
I like that.
I ended up doing that, and it gave me experience, which was cool, and I was working for AM station, so whatever. I got
college radio, man.
Yeah, I did one Gone Fishkin on there. He hated it. He said, I listen to too much metal music. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. I'm just wearing black skinny jeans. I listen to strictly pop.
I mean, you wrote an essay about All Time Low, the biggest metal band in the world.
So whatever. And then I ended up filling in for Guns a couple times. And that was when Gone Fishkin on Adobe came to be.
Well, I just want to know. Well, actually, I already know. But I just want to let you know that you're doing these transitions really well. It's kind of like you work in radio. Because right now, we have about 4 or 5 minutes left. And we have two more things to touch upon. You kind of unintentionally did with Adobe. So in one sentence or less, describe your Adobe experience. And then we're going to get to the juice of Mike Zemer.
The Adobe experience.
One sentence.
I started from the bottom, now I'm here.
Okay, so it's very similar to Drake's existence. And so just so you know, this show is almost over. We're going to talk about Mike Zemer for a little bit because that's literally the last thing. To quote Mike Fishkin, literally, who says literally a literally lot. But basically, the next few weeks of this show, like I said in the intro, are stocked with people behind the scenes. We've got Mike, what's his last name?
Cubulos,
next week. We've got Zach Falco the following week. We've got Ray Rolden the following week. And we've got Megan Thompson the following week. I've said the following week a few times. Special shout outs to Tom and Eddie at Adobe. Eddie is the program director and he's awesome. And Tom, I love Tom.
I'll give a little shout out to Eddie. Speaking of my start at Adobe, 20-year-old Fish got a bottle of Jack snuck into an Adobe festival.
Which one?
Adobe Meltdown 2013 in Silver Springs, and me and Eddie split it.
In Maryland?
Yep.
That's dope.
Me and Eddie split it, and I told him about my college radio show, and he's the one who kept in touch.
And look at you now. Now you're recording Waldman's Words.
Exactly.
And being a guest. You've made it. So
I'm stoked to be a guest.
And his eyes went open. He really meant it.
I do.
That's awesome. Well, one day, hopefully soon, I'll be a guest on Gone Fishkin.
We could see about that.
Oh, wow.
We can make it happen.
That's such an LA answer. It's like, so non-commil. And for the record, I'm not one of those people who constantly pitches you my shit. In fact, I did before we met.
Yeah.
So, fuck you. Anyway, so Mike Zemer, I currently work with him at Evolve, and you are his homie, and I would just like you to say, let's see how much time we have. I'd like you to say 4 sentences about Mike Zemer right now.
He could party harder than me.
Okay.
He could do more work than me.
Why is this so narcissistic that it's about you? How about 4 sentences about him?
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Hardest partier I know.
Okay.
Hardest worker I know.
Okay, I mean, good job, asshole. Okay, 2 more then. You technically beat the system with that one.
I know. He knows his shit.
Okay, so he's informed?
He's woke.
Okay, stay woke, kids.
And what else about Zemer?
One more thing.
Handsome motherfucker.
Okay. That's subjective, but I like him. What I would say about Mike Zemer is he has his hands in more areas than I have ever seen. And you can interpret that any way you want, but I genuinely like him a lot. as a person and as a friend and as a coworker. So shout out to Mike Ziemer. He has no idea what we're talking about him, and he probably won't listen. So there you go. So Fish, Mike, Fishkin, whatever you want to be called, thank you for doing this show on absolutely zero notice.
Oh, no problem. I kind of pulled the hoppus.
You did, actually. You pulled a plus 44.
No, not even that. There's a very famous interview, and by famous, I mean I saw it once.
Okay, that's totally famous.
He was talking, I think it was a behind-the-scenes video of I'd Do Anything for Simple Plan, and he's like, I was producing the track, co-writing the track, whatever he did, and he's like, what would go great here?
Me.
So I was like, yeah, got a good guess for you.
I close my eyes, all I see is Jew. Anyway, so Mark Hoppus, Simple Plan, Tom Chaney, Mike Fishkin, Good Charlotte, Life, Love, Liberty, Happiness. Fish, how can people get a hold of you?
Twitter.com/gonefish.
He's verified.
Yeah, and if you search Fish on Twitter, it's the first thing that pops up.
What?
I'm
going to do that right now.
Well, I mean, you follow me, so.
I don't care. I'll unfollow you, and then I'll follow you.
It doesn't work like that.
Fuck.
But,
That's not fair.
I'll show you on an account I have no interaction with. That, the first thing you see when you search Fish on Twitter is me, and I get tagged in every fishing-related post.
You know what's crazy is my Twitter name is Lido Beach, and so anytime someone goes to Lido Beach, I get tagged. The mute button is very necessary on Twitter. Anyway, Gone Fishkin, Gone Waldman, Waldman's Fishkin, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This will be airing in June, so you're listening to this in June, but it is currently May.
And depending on where you are in the world, I might be 25, I might be 24.
Holy fuck. Well, thank you again, guys. Have a good night.